B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
That was amazing.
Maybe the signature play of the weekend here. It's Felger and Mads on a re-entry Monday. Our re-entry Mondays are presented by East Boston Savings Bank. I asked who was the big winner coming out of the conference championship weekend. I think it's Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid had the most to lose, Mads, and certainly is, you know, has the most at stake in this game coming up. But I think Pat Mahomes comes out of that weekend just solidifying the fact that it's now, like, his turn, his league. He's the face of the league. He's the guy. It's going to be his era, and everyone's going to be measured against him, and everyone's going to be going against the Chiefs, and it's just sort of, I think, this weekend sort of, I don't know. I think Pat Mahomes is the headline coming out of the weekend.
Well, he was the best player on the field. I mean, Reed's been around a lot longer, so I thought the guy who gained the most from the weekend was Reed. But aside, if you stick to players, that play right there, the one where he scampered down the sideline, got the touchdown, to me, this is the difference in Mahomes now than early in the year when he was hobbled. He's moving. I mean, these plays he's making with his legs, it happened last week. It happened again this week. If he's running on top of everything else that they have, you're screwed.
So I was actually watching that. I said, watch, Rodgers is going to do this too. In these big games, the quarterback runs. You got to run. Take it when they give it to you. And Rodgers never ran once.
He didn't do it.
He didn't run once. He never even thought of it. I'm like, but when Mahomes, I'm like, this makes perfect sense. Russell Wilson, when got to have it, that's when you run. And Mahomes was running all over the place in this game. Huge factor.
I mean, again, it's 2 weeks in a row where he's been their leading rusher, I think. Like, you know, he's over 50 yards. And that play there, I thought he was going out of bounds. And then when I saw him go, I thought he stepped out. I don't think he stayed in. They obviously showed the replay a number of times. I mean, that was the play of the game. That was the play of the weekend, that play.
And my takeaway is it's the right two teams that are there. And heading into it, you know, spitefully because F the narratives or whatever, it's like, oh, I would love it if Tennessee went just to screw everything up. But they would get murdered if they were playing the Niners because that defense is, they're so fast, it's ridiculous. They're the most complete team, San Francisco. So I think this will be a hell of a game. And I can't wait to see it on the shoulders of Jimmy Garoppolo because he is going to be tested in this game, finally. And I can't wait for that. And now I'm either going to be proven wrong or you're going to need raincoats that Monday because it's going to be one hell of a blanami.
So that's on the table, too. So who was the big winner from the weekend? Who was the big loser? I think it was the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Both the way the team played, the way the defense played, the way the coach schemed it, and Rodgers was a big part, a huge part offensively for Green Bay, who also laid a big fat egg. So they were the big losers. We can revisit the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, especially in relation to these new reports about Tom Brady and his future. So that all ties together. I also want to give you right now the DN Van Lines move around the league. You want me to mention a high-profile move, trade, or demotion? I'll give it to you in a second. But making a league move requires research and a little guesswork, something you don't need when you call my mover, DN Van Lines. So the Garoppolo being in the Super Bowl is brought back up 2017 and the trade of Garoppolo, and was it the right call and all that delicious stuff. But in terms of second guesses and handling of the quarterback position and whatnot, it pales in comparison to what must be going on in a place like Chicago right now or anywhere that you had a top 10 pick in 2017 and Pat Mahomes is sitting there and Chicago trades up to select Mitchell Trubisky. And so that's sort of the one, you know, Chicago was in position to get Mahomes or whoever they want. And they
Deshaun
trade up
Watson too.
And Deshaun Watson. And they trade up for Mitch Trubisky. Now that you want to talk, we're having fun with Garoppolo and Brady and whatnot in Chicago. Can you imagine?
Oh, it's like passing on Michael Jordan for crying out loud.
I mean, that's basically what you're
pretty close
trading up to pass on Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Couldn't throw it into a swimming pool if you put him on the edge of the freaking pool. Seriously. Like, talk about a joke. I mean, what a mistake.
And what a great call by Houston. I mean, what a great call by Kansas City. What a great call by Kansas City to identify Pat Mahomes. They traded up too, didn't they? Didn't they trade up to 10 to get him?
I think that's right. And they also had the right coach. I mean, because, you know, to me, there's no better offensive coach in the game than Reed. He's tremendous.
So I'm just trying to find the exact trade of how they got up there. But I thought Kansas City traded up as well. So, I mean, you want to talk about...
No, Houston traded up for Watson. I think you might have this mixed up.
Okay, well, either way, Kansas City takes him at 10. Chicago's got a chance for whoever they want. They take Mitch Trubisky. Talk about a move around the league and, you know, the ramifications of that. So we can get back into all of your thoughts on the NFL weekend, your thoughts on Tom Brady, latest, all of it with you. We'll go right to it right now. Wes in the car. Go ahead, Wes.
Hey, quick thing. Kelsey is the biggest D-bag in the world. I hope they get crushed all because of him, even though I like Andy Reid. The Brady thing to the Chargers, you think his parents might play a factor in the fact that they're close by, and you think you'll see Belichick doing some commentary and probably, you know, scooping up Jimmy G on the live TV.
I have no idea what you're talking about on either. That last thing. What do you mean?
But I want to correct that, too. They did. They went from 27th to 10th.
KC did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, you know, talk about not just – it's not like the guy fell into his lap. It's not like Mahomes fell into Reed's lap or fell into their lap where they somehow got like – no, no. Of all the guys available, they identified the guy. They said Mahomes more than Watson, Mahomes more than Trubisky, and they traded up and put their money where their mouth was, traded up to get him. I mean, talk about a great call by whoever was pushing that button in that organization.
Oh, they nailed it. Again, he's the best player in the league now, or he's going to be for years to come. He probably is already.
Tony and Stoney, what do you got for us today, Tony?
A couple of things. Number one, I'm changing my mind on Brady. I said that Brady is going to retire. I think the fact that Daniels is staying, Brady's coming back. And the reason for it is I went through Brady's record. He's had nine years where he had double interceptions, and I didn't realize that. And I think he's coming back. Also, San Francisco's going to bury Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Garoppolo's going to look very, very good. And, you want to know why there's running backs in football? Look at your playoff games this year, and look at the teams that won because of their running backs.
Hey, Tony.
What?
Do you know where, I forget this guy's
Raheem
name.
Raheem Mostert.
You know where he was drafted?
Probably be a free agent.
He wasn't. He wasn't drafted. You know when he came out of college?
I said a free agent, yes.
Very good. You know when he came out of college?
No.
5 years ago. You know how many teams he's been on?
Oh, probably a couple.
Seven.
But drafting is luck. You got Brady in the, seventh round, and look what he was. He's a goat, okay? So, and how many first-rounders have been wasted and can't play? You know, that's the luck of the draw.
It's not really the point, though.
Especially when it comes to that position.
The point is that Kyle Shanahan knew he was going to run a certain kind of offense and identified an undrafted free agent journeyman, a nomad, and turned him into a star of the NFC Championship game.
I think it was just the next guy up.
It's about the scheme more than anything else.
Of course it's about the scheme.
No, I meant bringing him in the first place.
He was there to return kicks. They have McKinley still, right?
McKinnon, you mean?
McKinnon, whatever his freaking name is.
He got hurt again. Yeah,
okay,
Jared McKinnon, yeah.
So out, then did...
Coleman got hurt.
Betheo? Who else? Who was that other...
Matt Breida.
So I don't bother remembering the running back's name because they're disposable razors. One guy 1 week, the next guy the next. It's just...
And they've all done well for him, though. That's my point.
So it's the scheme. But my point is that Raheem Mostert... It would not surprise me one bit if he got 2 carries for 6 yards in the Super Bowl and was one of those other guys that ran for $1.50.
Absolutely.
Interchangeable.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is he just recognized that guy could work. So he plucked him off the street and stuck him in. He didn't have to go out of his way to go get some sort of high profile back. And, you know, he effectively did, in Atlanta.
See, they made the mistake, though, of giving McKinnon the money. They tried to get the high-profile back, and it ended up all the guys that were just depth pieces on the roster were the ones that came through and carried the mail anyway.
Yeah, I mean, well, they brought in Coleman as a free agent, too, though, right?
Did they?
Yeah. So, you know, he came over from Atlanta. From,
real money?
Yeah, but even Coleman and McKinnon, those guys aren't marquee backs. They're more like third down guys who can catch it and run it. So, I even give him those guys. He didn't go out and get Derrick Henry or, Adrian Peterson in his prime or any of those guys. He just got guys that could play football. He didn't focus on the big name.
Coleman got a 2-year, $10 million deal.
That's good money. That's sure. Too much money, as is proven by the fact that you can just pluck the kick returner from the bottom of the roster and put him in there. So why are you devoting high draft capital? Why are you devoting big free agent dollars?
I just think he built a model where, he knew he was going to need three or four guys, so he built a good core at running back. And, I look at what they have there, and they're all fast. I mean, they all get speed, at the very least. Even McKinnon, when he's healthy, he's fast. So I just, to me, he rotates them in and out. He uses them like freaking fuses in a fuse box, man.
That's what the running back position is.
Totally.
Fuses in a fuse box.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Again, I'm not disagreeing with the... I like the idea of running the ball, but you can put just about anybody back there to carry it if you can block.
We continue with your thoughts after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Feel super, baby!
Feels great,
the
baby!
The 5-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami.
Let's get
where they have won 2 Super Bowls, and they're looking for number 6.
Let's start filling up that other hand. Boy, what a job well done. Coaches, players, the execution. And how this team finished the last 2 games with that dominance at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball and really needing nothing from the passing game. And there's so much to be said for that. Kyle Shanahan and just sticking with it. How about Mostert and the game being put together?
Well, there's a final call from San Francisco again. Going over the championship games from the weekend, the Brady rumors from the weekend as well. Did you have a developing opinion over there,
Matt? Well, just in fact, as you brought up Mostert at the end of the last segment, and listening to that, what a game Mostert had. He's fast. Okay, he's got speed. Isn't that game really about the line, the play up front?
He's a kick returner.
You could drive trucks through those holes. He had so much space to run. They were gigantic. I think this is consistent with how we talk about Sony Michel. I look at it and say it's all about the line play. The running game's all about the line play. And except in a few cases.
Yeah, some guys, Derrick Henry makes a difference.
Yeah, and so does, Saquon Barkley. I'll tell you, he's elusive, no question. But that thing last night, that was, Green Bay just got manhandled and never adjusted. That was a joke. That's really not about Mostert. To me, that was just those holes were gigantic.
It's usually not about the running back. Unless you have them in fantasy, and then you get your points, and you think it matters. So it's just another example of it. But certainly the value of running the ball has, it's important to teams this year. That's clearly a trend, which I would acknowledge. But certainly not the individual running back. And that has proven to not make one lick of difference. And again, there's always exceptions. I think Henry might be one of them, but there's a shelf life there then too. If you're built on that big power back and possession back, and you go up against a team that can actually throw and put up points, then there's a shelf life to that. You can't stick with that.
I mean, the efficient passing game, though, is still harder to defend. You go against Kansas City, you say, what do you do there? Who do you stop?
But on the Packers end of that thing, I mean, it's appalling that they never took San Francisco out of that. And I don't care how good San Francisco's running game is or how good any individual back is, and not that Mostert is. But if you want to take it away, you can take... If you want to take away any one player, you can take away any one player. Double J.J. Watt. You won't hear from him. you don't want to hear from a receiver? Double team him with two of your best cover guys, and you won't hear from him. You can do it. Anyone can do it if you just make the decision to do it. If you want to take away the running game, it can absolutely be done, no matter how porous your defense is or how good an opposing running game is. Devote nine to the box. Go goal line. You just completely sell out to stop the run. Now, that exposes you all over the field, but if you're getting run on, like the Packers are getting run on, allowing 10 yards a carry in the first half, how do you not come out for one possession?
I don't know.
And just one, at least, and say,
I don't know.
This is a series where Garoppolo has to throw the ball. We're going to make him. And the guy might be wide open, and we might totally expose ourselves, but we're not giving you the run on this drive, and we're just going to see if you can adjust. And they never put that in front of them.
Stunning. I mean, to me, it was the most stunning part of the whole game. Like, at some point, I said, well, Green Bay is going to have to devote more guys to the run, and then San Francisco will start to throw, and we'll see what happens. They never did it. They never did it. It was absolutely mind-numbing.
And now, in hindsight, I'd say going into the game, that should have been the game plan. The only advantage Green Bay has over San Francisco is quarterback. That's it. San Fran's better than them all the way across the field and on the sideline, the whole thing. If you want to dial it back, the only shot the Packers had was if it became a shootout that came down to the quarterbacks. And I'll tell you, that might be the same thing with Kansas City.
Sure.
I mean, turn it into a 45-42 game and see if Rodgers can get the ball last, and that's how you're going to win. That's the only chance. You're not going to outrun them. You're not going to play better defense. You don't have anything else over them. The only thing you have is a quarterback. Yet Green Bay comes out conservatively, short passes, and Rodgers still goes to the wrong places. Like, and then they just played straight up on defense.
Stupid. It was so stupid, really. You can't say it enough. It was so stupid. And the other, you know, again, you said it. Kansas City, you know, and I'm going back to that game now quick because they want to play fast. San Francisco will, you know, they'll run on you all night long if you let them. And he did. They just stood there and let him run. I was stunned. Green Bay got totally exposed in this game.
Well, people were saying all year that
they weren't that good.
Yeah, their record was fool's gold, not as good as you think, and that all came before fruition.
And it's totally true.
It is true.
The only thing that opened my eyes against Seattle was, oh, Rodgers. Because he hadn't looked like that all year. He was terrific against the Seahawks. I'm like, oh, do we have playoff Aaron Rodgers here? And in which case, let's ride this guy like you read about. But they didn't play it that way.
And it was that first or second drive where he threw to the running back who got bodied immediately, and Aikman got all over Rodgers for saying, you just missed Jimmy Graham. He was wide open. It was third and short, and that's where I felt like, oh, no, he's, like, not in this or, like, rattled. Like, what? Oh, this is going to be one of these games, and it was.
So maybe when he said, you know, we got to get one of these at home, he was talking about himself. Maybe he doesn't like, you know, now he's had good games on the road, so I shouldn't dump all over him.
He's from that area. Like, you'd think that he'd have a fire under his ass going into that game.
I'll tell you, though, they played him twice, and they got trucked both times.
This was worse.
In retrospect, the NFC Championship game was San Francisco at New Orleans in week 15 or whatever it was. That was it. Whoever won that game was going to go to the Super Bowl and got home field. And as it turned out, New Orleans couldn't even hold up their end of the bargain and go to San Francisco. They lost to the Vikings, for crying out loud. But that was it. That was the game.
Okay, back to your phones as promised. Justin is in Uxbridge. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going? Couple questions here. So, Maz, you are way too high on San Fran. So I'm going to give you a couple reasons, and Felger actually stole some of my thunder to begin with. But we're talking about Morstead here. He was an RB3 at best.
Oh, my God.
He's not going to run all over Kansas City.
I just have to put you on hold. I can't talk to someone who says RB3.
And it's Mostert, not Morstead. He's the punter.
I'll let you mispronounce the name.
In New Orleans.
Like, I don't know any names. That's not my problem. RB3? That's like a fantasy thing, right?
It is.
He's an RB3.
It's not the running back. It's their line. Their line play is tremendous.
Go ahead, Justin. Please, just call him the backup.
All right, so back in line. So, yeah, okay, he's the backup of a backup running back. And next, what do we know about football here? You're talking about that San Fran's defense is just on top here. What do we know about football? A good throw beats good coverage any day of the week. Mahomes
really?
Can throw the ball on a dime. Yes, this has been proven throughout everything.
Okay, my experience is that every time a top-rated offense goes against a top-rated defense in the Super Bowl, the defense wins. I mean, almost 100%. We did this a few years back when Seattle played Denver that year, and the year Manning had the 55 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Everybody was picking Denver. Vegas was picking Denver. Everybody picked Denver. And my sentiment at the time was, it feels to me like every time these games happen, the defense punches the offense in the face, and that's the end of it. And Denver got absolutely obliterated. Now, this is different. Okay, it's later, you know, the game's evolved further, and Kansas City is very unique. They have a young quarterback, not an old one. And I'm not sure San Francisco's defense is good as Seattle's was back then.
It's not.
Okay, but still, typically the more balanced team and the better team on defense wins the game.
Here's my buddy Rocco. He's from Saugus, but he's lunching in East Somerville today. Hi, Rocco.
Yes, I am. Hey, Mikey, it's me, Rocco, your uncle, buddy. It's Rocco time. All right, listen, guys, I got to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Right? I've been watching the Chiefs all year, okay? They always had that one quarter where they scored 21, 28 points. They did it to the Patriots. I think it was the second quarter. I think they did it to the Houston Texans a couple of weeks ago. They did it yesterday. So if San Francisco could sustain 21, 24 points and just take that beating for that one quarter, I think San Francisco wins this game. I agree with you, Maz. I think the defense always wins against a better offense, and that's what I think. And on top of that, I knew the Packers were going to lose because throughout history against San Francisco, they never played good in San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't say about history. I mean, we won an NFC title game there in 97, beat them in the divisional round in 95. The Packers have had some good games out there. Recently has not been the case. Kaepernick, okay, but I don't need to go into all that. Do you look at San Fran as clearly having the better defense?
Yeah.
Of these? Oh, yeah.
Having the better defense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, of late, too.
Yeah.
Everyone's healthy.
Kansas City's defense has gotten better in the last month or two.
It has. But again, they played Tennessee this week. I mean, like, how much is it really to defend with Tennessee? And I'm not, you know, look, the fact that they got this far is a credit to Vrabel, but at the end of the day, it's Ryan Tannehill playing quarterback. Okay, so I don't give him a ton of credit for that game. You know, the Houston game, okay, so it got better as it went. They still gave up 30-something points. So you can score on Kansas City. I mean, I'm not telling you they blow like they did last year, where you're just going to run it down their throats and you just go down the field on a 14-play drive. I don't think they're better than they were a year ago, but realistically, they're average.
Okay, folks. Today, here comes the update. And in the update, Kyrie Irving. Are you going to play it here?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay. Kyrie Irving, who has had some just atrocious things to say over the years, just brutal, may have set a low. It might be another new low today from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I think it is.
Guess who he compares himself today to, and through the criticism that he's gotten and gets. Guess who he compares himself to? Listen to this piece of sound here in the update with Murray.
Yep, and just quickly a reminder, Reentry Monday is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. If you're looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're simply looking for a free checking account, visit ebsp.com, East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray on the stupidity of Kyrie.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Where's the trophy? Man. Listen, first of all, I'm so happy for the Hunt family and bringing that trophy back here. Wow. How great is that? That's right. Thank you, Randy. Fired up to go to Miami. Need to get on a diet so I can fit in my clothes. So we'll go do our thing.
That's Andy Reid at his press conference. The cheering is that? Did you, Jimmy? Did you enhance the cheering? Put a laugh track or something in there?
Nope, not at all. That's exactly how the video was.
You can understand why they're happy for him, though. He is kind of a delight.
I mean, he's a likable guy, but the laugh track on that first...
That's right.
Jesus. Like a Red Sox press conference.
No, exactly. I was just going to say that, Mario. You beat me to it.
That sounds like Happy Days. Like the canned.
My clothes. So we can go do our thing.
The canned laughter. How about the very first crack? Where he asked
a trophy? Man.
You added that. You added that.
I'd love to tell you I did. I did not.
Listen to that.
Where's the trophy? Man.
Seinfeld. I like that one guy.
That's right.
It's reminded me. Maybe my favorite part of the weekend in these games.
Thank you, Randy.
Do you see when he threw his challenge flag yesterday, how long it took him to lumber over?
Yeah.
Come on, Andy. Get there.
Yeah, he got himself a big old slice of vanilla bean cheesecake on the way home.
That's right. Time, Mari.
All right, we continue with your thoughts. Daniel on the South Shore. Hi, Dan.
You know, there's no question in my mind that the Patriots could have beaten Kansas City. I don't care, at home or on the road. Houston did to them in the first half what the Patriots' defense and special teams did to other teams all season long. And that stupid Billy O'Brien fakes a punt on the 30-yard line when they were up. I forget the score. Were they up by more than 14 points?
I thought it was 24-7 when he did it.
Yeah. They gave the game back. And then Tennessee, other than the one brilliant call on the goal line, which, by the way, I called that the Patriots should have called. You release a tackle or a linebacker off the line of scrimmage on the one-yard line, play action. That works every time. Vrabel caught 10 passes for the Patriots, and he caught 10 touchdowns. 10 passes for 10 touchdowns. First and goal, and they can't score. But let me tell you something. Belichick never would have faked the punt. I can't stand Kansas City. They're so full of themselves. And guess what? If they get behind against San Francisco, the galloping chicken in San Francisco, you got that, Murray? He's playing in the Super Bowl, Murray.
Yeah, neat.
He's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Tell me how the Patriots would have got to 31 points because they would have given up 30. How would this offense, oh, please. Did you watch this team at the end, you loudmouth?
Wait a minute. Yeah,
they had no shot. They lost wild card weekend because they deserved to lose. The team stunk this year.
All three of you told me they were the second coming of the Chicago Bears defense. All three of you. And I said it takes balance to win a football game. Balance to win championships. And you laughed me off the air.
That's insightful. Let me tell you, for someone who stood for peace and nonviolent aggression in the Dr. Martin Luther King, more people are pissed off today than I have heard. It's unbelievable.
Seriously.
The Patriots would have beat the Chiefs.
No, but and I don't know what Danny's talking about.
But the level of anger.
Yeah, I had my doubts about the defense the whole second half of the year. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You obviously don't listen to the show.
I bought in. I'm guilty. I bought in on the Patriots defense.
He's just trying to bait me, for crying out loud. He tried to bait you, Murray, and you took the cheese on top of it.
I will say this. If the Patriots had done their job and taken care of Miami and had the bye and home dates and blah, 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 I would not have ruled out them being where we are right now. That's headed to the Super Bowl.
It would have been a speed bump for Kansas City. Again,
they would have had to come here, you understand.
Game would have been here. I know that. The vaunted Gillette Stadium. Yeah, oh yeah. How'd that work out the last couple of weeks, including that wild card game? Please. This fraud team this year with that fake 12-4 record. So, best case scenario, the boogeymen hold the Chiefs to 30 points. Is this offense getting to 31? No, they're not. They deservingly lost wild card weekend, and they deservingly lost week 17 at home at Gillette Stadium. Do you know they're here, Murray? Did you know they're here? They deservingly got shredded by Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins, who played well for the last month while the Patriots didn't. They would not have made the Super Bowl.
Kansas City only got 23 here in December. December 8th, they got 23.
Ooh,
by the way, I was looking it up. Your point about the Kansas City defense is a good one.
Thank you.
I mean, their last...
They're improved.
Last six games of the regular season, they allowed 17, 9, 16, 3, 3, and 21.
Thank you.
And then the two playoff games. So, you know, they did a good job yesterday, albeit against Tennessee. I sort of throw that one out. The one caveat is they've played absolute dog crap teams.
Hold on, guys.
Guy, sit tight. Right. Sit tight for a second. Dog crap offense is now bringing Guy.
Okay, Guy, sorry, I jumped the gun there. Hi.
Hey, Mike, what are you doing? Ringing the bell? Listen, I got something for Murray. It's a gambling I got from Las Vegas. It's 6.5. The over and under on Jimmy G's passes.
I love it. I'll take the under.
Oh, that's a good one.
We continue with your wonderful phone calls. 617-779-0985. We had some phone problems today. I think they are cleared up, so you can give us a ring if you had trouble getting in earlier. The big loser from a championship weekend right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, Celtics fans.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Matt LaFleur was with Kyle three different cities, 8 years. He will run the ball. He's like Kyle Shanahan. Even down 17-0, Rodgers fumbled the ball. Buckner's got it. DeForest Buckner picked it up as Aaron Rodgers just dropped the center snap from Corey Linsley. 49ers take over.
Ruling on the field. Is a muff snap, recovered by the defense. First down.
Rodgers back, pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down, and the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. What a way to end it.
And Aaron Rodgers is the big loser. And the Packers for the no-show. It was the only no-show of the weekend. Tennessee, again, give them credit. They got as far as they could go. They did everything they possibly could. They took that thing as far as it could go. Vrabel and that Tennessee team deserve a ton of credit. They walked into Kansas City last night and took control of the game and had a shot, and then Kansas City got hot, and it was over. And finally, it ran out on Tennessee. But they emptied the bucket. The Packers? Oh, you got to be kidding me. You got one chance in that game, and that's to make it come down to the quarterbacks, because that's the only advantage you have in that game is Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy Garoppolo. And you just come out and base defense and let them run on you like that? You don't force the ball into Garoppolo's hands? Pathetic coaching. Pathetic game planning. And then on the other side, Rodgers and the whole offense, careful, conservative, until they get behind, and then he drops the snap, throws the interception that you just didn't even hear there. That was one at the end of the game. They're down 17-0 in the second quarter, driving to get some points. That's when he fumbled the snap. And then the interception came on the next possession. They got the ball to open the third. They actually had a chance, for as pathetic as they were, if they got points on those last two drives of the second quarter and then the first drive of the third, to make it a game. But it went fumble, interception, and that was that. And that was indicative of Rodgers' night. Big loser from the weekend, those
Mike,
two.
I'll tell you what, even if they had fumbled the snap, they were on the 25 of the Niners at that time. Okay, so now it's 17-0. San Francisco, who's going to get a field goal. Even then.
20-0. Now you can make it 27. 20-7 going into half. You get the ball to start the third quarter. I think they scored on that drive.
They did. They got a touchdown.
Could have been 20-14 if you had done any. If you had leaked a drop at the end of the second quarter. That's actually a ball game.
I mean, really, anything but a disaster, which is what it was. You know, even if they go out of it down 17-0 and they get the touchdown 17-7, now it's a game. Right? Like, all they had to do was not screw it up. It was that was the end of the second quarter in both games was it. That was it. But in the San Francisco game, especially the Green Bay game.
You know, Bedard wrote on Boston Sports Journal that you know, something along the lines of Aaron Rodgers has tried too hard to be the anti-Favre. Meaning Favre was just an interception waiting to happen, risk taker, too many risky throws, too many stupid plays, riverboat gambler. And so Rodgers has always tried to guard against that, and it's one of the reasons his interception numbers are so low. He doesn't throw picks until last night. But Bedard's point is that that's exactly what that game required. They had, you know,
push the envelope a little.
Had to push the envelope. You had to turn that into a passing game. You had to force the ball into Garoppolo's hands. And you had to try and make that a 42-39 kind of game and win it on the last possession with Rodgers. Like, that's how they were going to win. And they tried to play it straight up and out Niners the Niners.
which is stupid.
Oh, God, colossally dumb. And actually, you know what? On that first drive of the second half, I thought they did some good things. It felt to me like they were screening him to death. Like they were using San Francisco's pass rush against him a little bit. And they were, you know, they were starting to move the ball. And I thought, well, where was that? Like, you know, to me, they their game plan sucked. And again, defensively, it's Mike Pettine, right?
He's Yeah.
He should be fired.
What a joke.
And I know ultimately it comes back to LaFleur.
Well, the head coach should be sitting there watching and say, Mike, let's take the run game away now, okay? We're playing it straight up and it's not working, so we've got to take away the run. We're giving up 10 yards a carry. Like, that didn't occur to anyone on the sideline over there.
I mean, I think they gave up 285 yards on the ground.
I'm too sick to even go back and look at it.
7 yards a pop? Every time they run, 7.
But not just yesterday, Mike, and you watch them week in, week out. I just feel like this whole season, you never got those moments where, and sometimes it'd be to their detriment, you never got those moments where Rodgers is like, screw the game plan, I'm chucking. Like this whole, I never saw that at all in any Packers games I saw this year, and that's what they needed to do yesterday.
He wasn't invested. He wasn't invested.
From the jump.
He wasn't.
It's the way it looks when it's not. How can you not be invested in the NFC Championship game with your last real chance to go to the Super Bowl?
And look, by then it was 17-0. That fumbled snap, his body language on that was so bad. So bad. I just, maybe by then he saw the writing on the wall, but they got absolutely trucked in that game.
Mike and Woburn, what do you think?
I don't think you were fair earlier when you compared him less favorably to Manning. Like, would you feel better about Rodgers if he just rode some defense's coattails into the postseason and sucked ass in a Super Bowl that he actually won?
So, Mike, who's the second best quarterback of the Brady era?
I think it's Rodgers. I've always thought it's Rodgers.
You still do?
I do, because if you put Aaron Rodgers on those loaded Colts teams with that guy pumping in sound in those stadiums, turning up the heat, doing all that stuff. Hey, here's the biggest difference between Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. What did Aaron Rodgers do last weekend? Won at home. He won at home in the playoffs, and he looked good doing it. He had to convert 2 times on third down to do it. That's not what Peyton Manning does. You just said earlier this show, I thought we were going to get playoff Aaron Rodgers. What happens if you get playoff Peyton Manning? You're clearing fertilizer out of the stadium for the next week and a half.
I got Manning over Rodgers. Sorry.
He hates Manning. Mike hates Manning.
Of course he does.
And look, I'm not telling you Manning was clutch. He wasn't. But let's not get ridiculous about it either. I mean, you know, routinely had his, and maybe this makes him a bigger failure in the clutch games at the end, but routinely had his team as one of the top two.
See, I still
in
think,
the conference.
I still think Rodgers is clutch. I don't think last night was unclutch. In other words, like one score game, fourth quarter, I feel good about Rodgers. He's generally good in that spot. But then there are nights where he's just not there. And his whole approach going into the game. So maybe you could call that a choke or not, but it wasn't like last night was a clutch and late situation. It was the whole operation not ready to go.
Yeah, Manning was always ready to go.
I would say so.
Sometimes to a fault. Like, again, that's why he choked.
Yeah, but even in that sidecar year, he was good, at least in that first half of the AFC Championship game against the Pats. We find an Owen Daniels time and again.
I mean, Manning is, to me, the closest thing Brady had to appear in his during his career,
yeah,
a contemporary.
It's Manning. And Rodgers deserves to be, you know, considered along with Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, Brett Favre, Eli, Roethlisberger. That's Rodgers' grouping. And maybe you have him ahead of those players, behind those players, but that's his group. That's his ballpark. He's not in the Brady Manning conversation. Sorry. Much as that pains me. James is in Boston. He joins us next. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. I was just wanted to talk about, you know, can we just, not we, but people understand that the Patriots really come to grips that they did not deserve to be in this championship, in this Super Bowl. You know, the fact that I actually was watching the season, I thought that the Super Bowl was going to be played in the NFC all year. However, you know, looking at it now, you know, I'm not quite sure that I'm not sold on KC's defense. However, I think, can we agree that the best two teams from the AFC and the NFC are playing in the Super Bowl?
Yes, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way, James. In other words, do you have a bye? Are you home? That sort of thing. I don't think the Packers are the second best team in the NFC. They won a tiebreaker over whoever.
New Orleans.
Yeah, and right, and got a home game and a bye. If you had flipped it, The Packers are out in the round one. They're out their first road game. Then they're not beating Seattle in Seattle. They're getting smoked. The only chance they had was, and the only chance they would have had against San Fran, apparently, is if it's in so, but that's what changes it with me in New England. They're not, I'm not telling you they're any better than you think they are, Murray, but if they have a bye in our home, that changes things.
Yeah, the other thing is, it's easy to say now when, you know, there were two good teams in the Super Bowl, but Baltimore's 14-2. Like, you know, to me, if there's a team that is looking back and really lamenting it all, Baltimore's probably, because they'd have been home yesterday. Right? If they beat Tennessee, they're home. Now, look, I think they were flawed. They're not as good as we thought they were during the regular season. So, you know, two of the, you know, four best, five best teams in the league are in the Super Bowl, yes.
Okay, but I'm, for the last 7 years, the Super Bowl has been either one or two seeds by teams.
Right.
There has not been a team to come out of wild card. I'm not even saying a wild card team. If you're the three seed and you win your division, you're the three seed and you play wild card weekend. There has not been a team to come out of wild card weekend to play in the Super Bowl.
True.
In 7 years, 14 straight, 14 for 14 have come from the bye. It changes everything.
Of course it does, yeah.
And if you can just stop Ryan Fitzpatrick on that last drive, you're one of those bye teams.
If San Francisco ended up losing to Seattle, I don't think they're in the Super Bowl.
Me neither.
If they lost that final game of the regular season.
And they have to play three games, a couple on the road to get here? I think that's different.
Agreed.
We reset the Brady latest, because there is Brady latest developments over the weekend, where he was this weekend, who he was talking to, what was reported over the weekend, both in the traditional sports media and the trashy tabloid media. Details after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.